Everybody, and welcome back. It is a little bit of a chilly Monday morning here in the Valley, but I am delighted to be back together with you. Aha, there we go. I see that we're on now. It's great to be back with everybody this morning at the start of another week. I hope that you had a wonderful and relaxing weekend. I'm glad to be here with you, whether I am here with you live right now at 7 a.m. on September 14th, or maybe you're finding this at, I don't know, 9 a.m., 9 p.m., September 14th, 2021. Who knows what's going to happen in the rest of the year. Nevertheless, I'm happy whenever the Lord has brought you here. Maybe you recall that last week we finished with the book of Judges, and this week we are continuing along. Good morning, Christine. We are continuing along with the gospel according to John. And where we left things last time was talking about the, the converse nature of things, right? Hey, Alice, good morning. Yes, coffee. I should have coffee in here. I need a cup of coffee this morning, Monica. Good morning. We're talking about the grand difference between Jesus and between the world, and also the people that follow Jesus and the people that follow the world, or at least the way that it should be, because where we left off last week was talking about the light. In verse 4, we read, in him, talking about him, meaning the Word, who we know to be Jesus, but in him was life. And that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. And we talked about the striving nature of the world's darkness, how the darkness of the world is not neutral, and how sin never is neutral. You know, that's part of the temptation, that we can engage in an activity that does not please the Lord, that does not honor God, and we can do it for simply our benefit. But the reality is that sin grows and grows and grows, and it becomes worse and it becomes worse. That's why some have said it many different ways, but John Owen said it so well, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. Okay, and he was talking about mortifying the flesh, or in other words, dealing with the sin in your life. And so that's kind of where we left things last week, the idea of the fact that the world, though there are many beautiful places in the world, and indeed they are, there are, while there is much wonder and amazement in the world, and it's an incredible place to see, and I've been very blessed by seeing it. In terms of the people of the world, y'all, there is still a striving darkness, a darkness that would seek to not coexist with the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the true followers of Christ, the invisible church, not the physical, visible church, though sometimes that's the case too. But the world, the darkness of the world is not content to coexist with God's people. As the light, as the darkness of the world sought to extinguish the light so long ago, nothing has changed. That is still the case today. And so with that in mind, we come to where we are today. And that is verse 6. But before we read verse 6, actually, no, I'm going to go ahead and read it right now. So we're in John chapter 1. If you're not there already, go ahead and turn there in your own scriptures. John chapter 1, I've got mine right here. Starting in verse 6, it says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Pause, time out right there. Who is the John that is being spoken of here? You may know the answer to this question, but if you've never read this before, you're saying, well, is the author writing about himself? No, the author is not writing about himself, because this is the Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved. The John that is being referenced here in our verses this morning, in verse 6, is John the Baptizer. Okay, now we're going to meet him very soon, but he is the one that is prophesied. He is the forerunner to make straight the way for the Christ. And we're going to get into all of that when we actually get to John. Okay, we meet him in person. In chapter 1, if you drop down to we get into him around verse 15. Really, we meet him in verse 19, and we have more dealings with John the Baptizer as we go through. But I want to stop right here for a second, because remember, this is not a Bible study. It's not a sermon. This is a devotional time. The intent behind these is to give devotional thoughts for today, or to give you something to think about today. Going back to what we just read, there came a man who was sent from God. All right, so we know that John is a prophet. He holds a special office for this reason. Okay. And specifically, John the Baptizer had a very specific task, and we're going to learn all about those things, right? There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Let me ask you something today, and this is what our devotional thought revolves around. What's your view on evangelism? Yeah, evangelism. And that's a complicated word for, it's a one word to describe, or it's a one word idea to describe telling other people about Jesus. What's your view of telling other people about Jesus? Because right here at the start, we find out something about John. There are two words that we would do well to notice here. The first is witness. He came as a witness. And then the second is to testify. I don't know how much courtroom stuff you've been involved with, but this is judicial language. What is a witness? Well, a witness is certainly somebody who has been a part of a going on, someone who has seen something. And then John came to testify, to offer testimony as in a court of law. And this is important for us, and I'll tell you why. Y'all, we can complicate evangelism. I've talked about this very briefly in the past, but today is a good day to talk about it, because I don't know if you've realized this or not, but the fact that the world is full of darkness, that means there's a lot of people that need Jesus. We've been talking about that lately, but outside of that, maybe you've noticed through turning on the TV and looking out your window every once in a while, but the world seems to be particularly dark right now. That means that there's a whole lot of people that need Jesus. And the problem with evangelism is we've complicated it over the years. Everything from when people hear the word evangelism, they think about an evangelist, right? And sadly, a lot of times, and this is much more relatable to American culture, but a lot of times when people think about the term evangelist, sometimes they don't think about nice things. They think about the guys on TV, right, who have great hair. You know, I have no chance when it comes to that, but they have great hair. They have the whitest teeth that you could ever see. A lot of times they're passing around KFC buckets to get big donations. They probably don't do that anymore. But nevertheless, you get what I'm talking about here. There's a great, great social commentary movie that came out. I don't know if it was the 80s or it was the early 90s, but it's called Leap of Faith. And Steve Martin plays a traveling evangelist in that movie. And it is a powerful, powerful message, y'all. I don't even know where you could find it anymore. That's been so long ago. But nevertheless, a lot of times when people think about evangelism, they think about evangelists, right? And I want to do away with that misconception. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There are some evangelists that have done so much good and have so many people have come to the Lord as a result of God using those particular evangelists. Think, for instance, of Billy Graham. Right. So, again, not every evangelist is bad. I'm not saying that. But that's not what we ought to be thinking here, because the reason being is if we think when we think about telling other people about Jesus, if we think about the guys that show up on television to do it, where does that leave me and you? And, yeah, even me, because I come on Facebook, but I'm not on television. I'm not some flashy preacher somewhere. Where does that leave even me? No. When we think about evangelism, let me get back to that in just a second. If we don't think about that, and sometimes we have a tendency to think about evangelism in terms of tactics, right? For some people, it is the tactic of handing out the little tracts, right? Some tracks are very, very good. So please understand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. You know, the tracks, if you've never heard of that before, that's the little, you know, sorry, reverse one. That's the little pieces of paper that have the different, you know, messages on it that maybe you're walking around downtown and somebody hands you one, or maybe you, I don't know, go to a restaurant and you see that somebody's left one. They're all over the place. You go to a rest area and sometimes you can see them in the information racks. People put a little track down in there. Hopefully somebody will find it. Sometimes those can be effective. I do question their effectiveness on a large scale, but nevertheless, some of them are very, very good. And some of them are an absolute dumpster fire. Okay? Everything from, I remember this would have been several years ago. I don't know what we had done. We had been in North Carolina with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Amanda and Stuart. Maybe y'all remember this, but we were coming back and we stopped at the South Carolina Welcome Center there on 85. We had been to Landrum just across. And anyway, we stopped and there were some tracks there. And it wasn't about Jesus. Jesus was in it. But it was really about the demon alcohol, you know, why you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. So nevertheless, I think my little voice recorder ran out. So if you're on sermon audio, sorry, this is going to be it. Nevertheless, anyway, so there are some tracts that are out there like that, that they take on subjects that quite frankly, if somebody doesn't know the Lord, then why are you even engaging them over those kinds of things? Sometimes we think about tactics when it comes to evangelism, meaning tracks, or sometimes we think about a process that you're supposed to follow, where you're supposed to take this person through these specific Bible verses, and you got to know the right thing to say at the right time, and you got to be trained and all these different things. But the reality is this. When we think about evangelism, it's not that having a pattern is a bad thing. It's certainly not that training is a bad thing. But y'all, when we reduce evangelism to all of these other things out here, when we make telling other people about Jesus into this huge event that you either have to be this professional person to do it, or you have to follow all these tactics over here, then it makes it somewhat attainable, unattainable to the everyday person, even like me, right? Because if it's this big deal, then it makes evangelism in and of itself a major, major event. And it shouldn't be that way. I'm not saying that evangelism isn't important. It's of vast importance. What I'm saying is because it's of such vast importance, we ought to be engaging in evangelism regularly. And because of that, we need to view evangelism in light of John 1. Again, getting back to our verse for today, there was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You know what evangelism really is? Really and truly, what evangelism comes down to is bearing witness, as in a court of law. When it comes time to tell people who don't know about Jesus, to tell them about Jesus, don't complicate it. Tell them what you have seen. Interestingly enough, later on in the book of John, you find this fascinating passage, and it's John chapter 9. We're not going to read the whole thing because we're going to come back to this later. But Jesus heals a man that was born blind. And in verse 13, it says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And this is it. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. My friends, this is the essence of bearing testimony. Being a witness and bearing testimony. And it shows us that you don't have to know all of the right answers. You don't have to have all of the tactics lined up. You certainly don't have to be a televangelist to tell other people about Jesus. And we're going to get into that. Now, of course, Jesus was not a sinner. Don't get wrapped around the axle on this stuff this morning, y'all. The point is this. When it comes right down to it, you and I, we have the same calling. We haven't been sent from God as John the Baptizer was sent from God as a prophet. We don't hold that office. Specifically, we don't have that specific task as it relates to being the forerunner of Christ. But being the followers of Christ, we have been given the great commissioning. We have been given the task to go and to tell other people about the Lord. And instead of complicating it, and I think it's fitting that this is Monday, this is the start of the week, look for opportunities to tell other people about what you have seen Jesus do. Because that in itself is much more of a powerful testimony than any tactic you'll come up with. Because tactics can become very impersonal. When you are willing to take the time with someone to invest in that individual and to tell them for the reason that you have, for the hope that you have in Jesus, when you take the time to tell them what Jesus has done for you, that is something that penetrates the impersonal, that goes deep with people, to show them that you're not just wanting to tell them about somebody else, you're wanting to tell them about your life and what God has done for you. And that makes all the difference in the world. As it was with John the Baptizer, so it should be with you and I. We are witnesses to bear testimony, as in a court of law, to tell people what Jesus has done. And to that end, one more thing and then we're done. Do you spend time thinking about what Jesus has done for you? Really and truly. Because what this comes down to, this pattern of evangelism, you're simply telling people what God has done for you. If you don't know what God has done for you, then you need to take the time to figure that out. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll dwell on it, you'll see not only the blessings that he has given to you, you'll see the protection that he has offered. And ultimately, if your focus is on Jesus, as it should be, you'll see the salvation that you have in him. So spend some time dwelling on that today, but also spend some time thinking about the opportunities that the Lord gives to share his truth with others. Keep your eyes open, because even today you will have opportunities. I am confident. And if you don't have the opportunity to share the gospel with other people today, share the gospel with yourself, because you need it every day. I need it every day. Be that witness bearing testimony. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you indeed for this time, and we thank you for the simple truth of your word. That you give us opportunities over and over and over again to bear witness to the truth of the light. Father, forgive us for the opportunities that we have missed, for the times that we have been too focused on whatever else it may be out there to love other people enough to tell them about you. Forgive us of that, but prepare us. Help us to dwell on your greatness, to focus on what you've done for us so that we can bear witness, so that we can testify to who you are and what you have done. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in Christ. And now, as it's Monday, be with us at the start of this week and go with us. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time with me today. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and we will continue through the prologue. And I should have said this at the beginning. Realize that the first 18 verses of the book of John, they are very introductory, kind of broad spectrum verses. You realize that, okay? We're going to get into the narrative side of this, the story side of what's actually taking place. But John 1:1-18 is just different, and so we'll get to the story side very soon. Thank you for your patience. Good morning, everybody that was here live. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Stacy and Monica and Alice and Christine. And if I missed anybody, thank you again for joining us, and hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day.